What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. One more time. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Jesus, you're beautiful. The risen King, the God who loves us so much, the God who is with us and for us, the God who's fully present right now. We just celebrate you, for you deserve our celebration. We honor you, for you deserve our honor. God, as we dive in your word, I ask for your spirit to be fully present here as well. The Lord, we would see your truth, embrace it, and walk in it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We thank God. Before you sit down, I want to read us Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worth of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean? Except he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. Go ahead and have a seat. Yeah, so just want to, once again, just celebrate our youth. Hosting today was Jasper and Gabs. These guys have been away to school. It's always good to have them back. Let's hear it for them. And Gabe, where did that bass come from, bro? Like, whoa. And then the dance, you know, our youth were dancing a beautiful dance. Let's hear it for them. That was absolutely amazing. Yeah, awesome. And, you know, we've been running a campaign, you know, it's under the Limitless Transformation Campaign. The Limitless Transformation is actually our building initiative, and we're doing this because we have land out in Ewing that we hope to build there. And to start us off this year with the fundraising, we had a donor who has 25 million kwacha, and they said, let's do a matching thing where he's challenging us to raise 25. And then we get 25 from him, which means we're going to have 50 if we manage to raise the 25. So we've been asking you guys to contribute towards that. And I know some of you have been on me like, hey, we're giving soon. And thank you very much. So this morning I said, hey, we have raised a little over 20 million. Let's hear that, which is absolutely amazing. But then when I made that announcement in the first gathering, because that means we're remaining with 4.7 million. God moved somebody and who said they will cover that. So we have raised 25 million quite as we stand right now, guys. Yeah, we thank God. Yes. But you know what? We don't want to hinder God's blessing. to some of you that I know you're already on the way of giving, so bring it in, you know, and yeah, but we thank God. So I want to just give a yeah, God, right now. One, two, three, go. Yeah, God. Yes, he's a good God. You know, if I say his reason, please say his reason indeed. He is reason. He is reason. Can you imagine how ridiculous we would sound if Jesus never rose from the dead? Can you imagine like how ridiculous our songs would sound like if Christ never rose from the dead? Can you imagine like how senseless Christianity would be if resurrection never happened? You know, our faith would have no basis at all if resurrection never happened, because we have got a Savior who said, who predicted his own suffering, but then also predicted his own death. And not only that, he went further and predicted his own resurrection. He said, I'm going to suffer, I will die, but I'll rise again. I won't stay dead for too long. 3 days, on the third day, I will be up. Can you imagine if that never happened? Like, probably wouldn't even be here singing songs, you know, that we are singing even this morning, because that was, you know, it was going to be like a failed project. But thank God for the risen Lord. Praise God for Jesus who rose from the dead. Resurrection makes Christianity make sense. Resurrection makes our faith make sense. Our walk with God, it's made sense because of resurrection. In fact, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about, you know, our very faith would not, hey, Harry. Can we tell these guys to stop a bit? I don't want them to disturb my resurrection message. Thank you. Nothing can stop the death of Jesus and his resurrection. And he predicts his own suffering, and then he rises from the dead. And Paul says that because of that reality, then our faith actually makes sense, because without the resurrection, our faith will be futile. Without the resurrection, our faith would not make sense. In fact, there was no reason to believe what we're believing right now. But we thank God for resurrection, because of that resurrection, then our trust is fully anchored. Our faith is fully anchored in the risen Lord. Because Christ rose from the dead, then our hope is fully secured in the risen Lord. Now we come to this passage in Ephesians. Now we've been going through the book of Ephesians. Today we are finishing our sermon series, Made New, Living the Past in the Past. And today I just want to talk about the hope that we have in Christ as we've been made new. Because our reality is that you and I were dead in our sins and transgressions, but we've been given new life in Christ. We've been given a new life in God, and we are being invited to live in that new life. So in chapter 4, Paul is challenging the church in Ephesus to be like, by the way, you guys have received something beautiful. And this should make you to pursue two things. First of all, should make you to pursue unity, but also should make you to pursue love. And that we're going to talk about that today. But Paul's idea isn't that you would wish for people to, or other people, to do unifying things. Paul's idea is that you yourself would live out your life in such a way that you would pursue virtues that would be unifying. And in talking about love, he talks about maturity, where for Paul is like, actually for us, if we're going to say that we are matured, it means that we have come to a place of love. And we have come to a place of love. And he's like, I don't want you to just wish other people to do lovely things. I don't want you to just wish other people to do things of love, but I want you to be loving. So the challenge here is, what is it that you would like to see in this community? What is it that you'd like to see in this community? Do you want to see this to be a generous community? Then be generous. Don't just wish for someone else to be generous. Do you want us to be a forgiving community? Then be forgiving. Don't just wish for someone else to be forgiving. Do you want us to be a kind and gracious community? Then be kind and gracious yourself. Don't wish or wait for someone else to be these things. Whatever you wish to see, then I would like you to embrace that. I want you to live it out. And that's the invitation on our lives. Now, in this passage, there is two invitations that I just want to highlight. There's a lot of gold in this passage. We can take it and probably stay hours just looking at every phrase and every single verse in this passage. But I just want to highlight only a few things. And just in case you're wondering why he didn't go there, it's because I want to just highlight a few things. The first invitation we see in this is to pursue who God has called you to be. Pursue who God has called you to be. Verses 1 and 3 says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worth of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Paul says, live your life in such a way that will show that you guys have actually been called. There's a calling on your life. And I want you to show that you are living your life as somebody who's been called. So now when it comes to calling is something that connects us, but at the same time, calling will separate us. You know, when we are talking about calling, some of us feel like, hey, there are other people that are called and there are other people that are not called, you know, or like, hey, they are called to do that. Or as we like to use here, the language of passion. I am not passionate about it, or I am passionate, you know, about that. But Paul's idea here is not that whether you are passionate about this or not, but Paul's idea is that you would embrace the life that God has already put in your life. That you start to allow the call that God has placed in your life to begin to shape the way you live your life. You let the call begin to determine the course of your life. And when you do that, when you embrace that reality, that call is going to connect you. It's going to connect you to your purpose. It's going to connect you to your master. But at the same time, that call is going to begin to disconnect you. It's going to begin to disconnect you to the things that are not in line with your purpose. It's also going to begin to disconnect you to some people that might want to distract you from your purpose. Your calling becomes, a separator. You know, there are other people that love to see you the way you are right now. You know, there are other people that love you because you're more in line with the things that they want to see in your life. But when you begin to live your life in line with who God is calling you, in line with where God is calling you, that is going to begin to separate you from certain groups of people, from certain relationships, from certain connections. It's going to begin to separate you. You know, some of you maybe have been accused before where somebody comes and says, oh, you have changed. Oh, you have changed. They want to make you feel guilty. By the way, we should never let people remain the same. We should actually be allowing people to change. You shouldn't even allow yourself to remain the same. You should be changing. You should be changing. Other people say, oh, you have changed. You no longer do this or you no longer do that. But the reality is that what they're advocating is that they're advocating for you to still remain your old self and not to embrace the new you that you are becoming. They want you to remain the old version of you and not this amazing and beautiful version that God is inviting you to become. You're going to embrace your calling because you know the reality that I'm no longer who I used to be. I'm no longer that person anymore. I no longer go to those spaces. I'm no longer who I used to be. I've now been made in you, and therefore I want to embrace the new me. So Paul says, live your life according to this calling that God has put on your life. You know, when you embrace becoming who God wants you to become, you're going to disconnect from certain connections, certain relationships. And even if you're not even trying to separate yourself from people, but the core itself will begin to invite you on a journey that's actually different. You know, and some of you maybe might need even to stop worrying about, losing certain relationships, because others maybe cannot really handle who you have become now, or who you are becoming, in God. Now, Paul here, one thing that we notice is that Paul says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you. In other words, I am pleading with you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. I am pleading. You know, Paul is pleading. Why is he doing that? It's because you were dead in your sins and transgressions, and God has given you the gift of grace so that you have now have faith in him. You've been made alive. Now, the work of saving you, that belongs to God. But the work of walking in the life that God has given you, that's on you now. That's on you now. So Paul is saying, I am pleading with you to live your life worth of the calling that you have now received. Because it's possible to receive this call and still live a purposeless life. It's very possible to receive a new life and still live as though you are still in the old life. It's very, very possible. But he says, no. Now you gotta move in the newness. There's a new you now. There's a new you now. There's a new creation in you now. So you don't need to remain. So Paul says, you have received this call. You know, some of us are waiting to be called by God. Like, I am waiting on God to call me. I am praying until when I hear the call from God. But Paul is saying, God's call has already been given to you. God's call has already been given to you. So receive it. Embrace it. Just embrace it. Walk in it. In other words, he is calling us to align ourselves with what God wants for us. He's calling us to align ourselves with what God desires for us. He's calling us to align ourselves with what God hopes for us. He's calling you to align yourself with what God sees in you. He's calling you to align yourself with what God is forming in you. So don't just wait, start living. Stop waiting and start living. Start living in your core. Start living in your core. You know, some of you right now are saying, I am waiting on God. But God is saying, no, I'm waiting on you. Oh, I'm waiting on God. He's saying, no, I'm waiting on you. I want you to move. You have already received this. Walk in this. Move in this. Embrace it. Embrace it. I think most of us, we don't fully embrace the call that God has put on our lives is because we often think of calling in terms of doing. You know, God has called me to do this. God has called me to do that. God has called me to save those people. So we always think of calling in terms of doing. But actually the call in this passage is not that you would see your calling through the lens of what you're going to do, but actually you would see your calling through the lens of who you are. That you've been made new. That you've been made new, and therefore you have to let who you are determine the things that you're going to do. So embrace your calling. So in other words, embracing calling is actually embracing who you are. It's embracing who you are. And how does Paul say this looks like? What does this look like? Hey, he says, embrace your calling, and I want you to embrace this. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. These are not easy things. Yeah, be gentle. Be gentle. Don't be forceful. Be gentle. Don't just be demanding. Actually, be gentle. Don't just go in and take everything. Be gentle. You know, being gentle is forfeiting the right to be forceful so you can win what you want. You forfeit that right so that you can win the person. You know, gentleness, what comes first is not the thing that you want from the person, but actually you'd like their soul to be won. That's why you're going to be gentle. What else does he say? Be patient. Who struggles with patience in here? Hey, it's hard. A few of us, yeah? I can relate to that. You know, it's hard to be patient sometimes, you know. Now, I find that I can sometimes cope with being patient with, you know, systems. You know, sometimes. It's still hard, but, you know, I would still be frustrated, but maybe because I could wait because I know maybe at the end of it it's going to happen. You know, maybe like the day, you know, you dread the day that you have to renew your passport or like your license. Oh man, you have to be patient, right? Or going to a bank on a Monday. Come on, it's crazy out there. But sometimes I find it hard to actually be patient with people. You know, it's harder to be patient with people because people are not systems that you can manipulate. People are not switches that you can switch on and off. No. You know, sometimes people take a long time to embrace change. He says, be patient. Sometimes people, if not often, they are so slow, right? You're like, I've been telling her, I've been telling him, but they cannot change, right? Because that's how people are so slow. People are messy. They might start fine, but then lose their way. How do I know this? It's because you're sitting in front of me. You and me, we are like that. We are messed up people. And it can be so hard to be patient with people. But you know, patience is forfeiting my right to get what I want right now so that I can trust in God's ability to build something beautiful and better in them. So I'm going to be patient. He says, bear with one another in love. Now, all of these things, they seem like, hey, I am doing these things, but they're not, I don't think they're really good for me. I think they're good for them. Like I'm being patient with them, be gentle towards them. They are more working for them than they are for me, right? Sometimes you can feel like that. Be completely humble. Because the reality of our world is that maybe often the people we see winning, maybe they're not really completely humble and gentle. Maybe they're the people that are actually being forceful and getting things for themselves. People full of pride and all. But don't be fooled. Actually, when you are embracing to be who you really are in God, that you're going to be completely humble and gentle and be kind and be patient, what you're going to find is that you yourself are going to begin to experience change as you're being patient. That you yourself are going to have some things being challenged in you as you're being kind and gentle. Because as you're being patient, you know, things begin to ravel within you and you begin to wonder, why am I actually really angry? Why am I actually feeling like this? And you realize that the basis of that is not of God. You begin to see change in yourself. So there is work that God does when we live out our calling. So why are we going to be patient? Why are we going to be kind? Why are we going to be humble towards people? It's because of the hope that we have in God, the hope that we have in Christ. Because his invitation is that we would live hopeful lives. So we're going to go on and be hopeful. You know, you look at the resurrection brings hope. The resurrection brings the hope that even situations that look so dead, that no life can come out of it, if Christ is in there, boom, life comes out of it. So we can live hopeful lives. You know, I find it easier sometimes hoping that I will change, but sometimes I find it harder hoping that they will change, the other person will change. And the reason for that is not because I don't think people are capable of changing, but I think it's the reality that I am unable to change people. Because often we put pressure on ourselves, wanting to fix other people. But the invitation is that we would not look at our abilities, but we'll look at God's ability. That he is able to fix people and help people and bring people to himself. The second invitation we see here is to pursue loving others well. Pursue loving others well. Verse 11 to 13, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If we are ready to summarize verses 11 all the way to 16, what you would actually see there is that God has given gifts to the church, but they are for the purpose of helping us grow to maturity. Now, when it comes to this reality of maturity, maturity is actually coming to a place of love. That's what it is, coming to a place of love. You know, my father, one of the, if not the last conversation I had with my father, I never saw him going to church at all. My mom would take us to church, but I never saw my dad come with us or at least take us to church. He was sick kind of towards the end of his life. And I had, you know, prayed with him. He had come to know Jesus. So I'm talking to him. I'm like, hey, why don't you come to church? Church is amazing. Why don't you come through and you know, come with us to church? Or at least I started then going to another church. Maybe you can come to our church. But he's like, no, I don't think I can step into church. I'm like, why not? He's like, I don't think there is love there. Because all his life, all he saw was people that were in positions where people that had power or money, you know, people that would be leaders, would have something, connections and things like those. And he's like, I just never felt that there was love, you know, there. It's a very sad reality, right? Now, whether that was, you know, true or not, but we know that the scriptures, you know, Christ says that they will know us, not by the things we do, but actually by the love we have for one another. That's actually the place of maturity, when we can come to a place that we can love each other sincerely. That's the place of maturity. It's not about doing things more, praying longer prayers. It's actually coming to a place where you can love others well. Now, it says that to each one of us, God has given gifts and then given a grace to help us walk in the gift. For us to love well, we should not only see each other as people that have gifts, but we should begin to see each other as gifts. That you are a gift to me. I am a gift to you. That together we form the body of Christ. Because we are a gift to each other. Because if we're only going to see people as the ones that have gifts, then our relationship is going to become transactional. You have something that I need, I have something that you need. That's it. But no, God wants us to begin to see ourselves as the body of Christ. We need each other. We are a gift to each other. We're a gift to each other. So we come to that place. And you are a gift because of who you are. You are a child of God. You are the son of God. You are a daughter of God. You are a gift to this community. You are a gift. As we close, I want to just bring you to verse 9 and 10. It says, what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. That Christ went to the lowest earthly region, but at the same time, he also ascended to the highest of heavens so that he can fill the whole universe. How does God often fill the whole universe? He does it through us. That the resurrected Christ resides within us, and he wants the gift of life that he's given us to actually go on and fill the whole earth. That Jesus himself, he's the gift that has been given to mankind. Now, Paul says, you know, this passage of when he ascended on high, he's actually quoting Psalm 68, verse 18, which says, when you ascended on high, you took many captives. You received gifts from people, even from the rebellious, that you, Lord, might dwell there. Now, that's, you know, I wondered why Paul changed that scripture. He did change it, you know, because Psalms, it says, you received gifts from people. But then Paul says, and gave gifts to his people. That the coming in of Jesus is not waiting for you to bring gifts from to bring gifts to him, but he becomes the gift to you. He becomes the gift to you. This is the new covenant that we have. That Christ is the gift of God to us. And when we embrace Jesus as the gift guess what we're going to do is that we're going to take that gift and not only just keep it to ourselves, but we want the people around us to begin to experience that gift. Can we make Christ accessible to other people? Because he has made himself accessible to other people. That we should never be in the way of Jesus and others, but would get out of the way so that we can experience the gift that Christ is. Just close your eyes for a moment. God is calling you to live a life worth of your calling. Some of you already know what that looks like for you. Some of you already know God's invitation for you. Maybe you know who you need to be patient with more. Some of you already know who you need to be gentle with, or who you need to be kind to, or who you need to forgive or be merciful to. Maybe you can just take a moment to just pray, God, may you help me to walk in that. Help me, Lord, to be forgiving, to be kind, to be patient. Just take a moment to just pray for yourself. If you are here and you have no connection with Jesus, all of this that we are saying actually does not really mean a lot to you. But God is inviting you, because you cannot love well unless you have experienced God's love. You cannot fully embrace gentleness until you have experienced the gentleness that comes from God. You cannot fully be patient unless you have experienced the patience that comes from God. So I want to invite you to cross that line of faith today. If you don't have any relationship with Jesus, I want you to just take this moment where you just come to God and pray this simple prayer. Just pray, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Just pray that simple prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Just pray it out. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Now, if you have prayed that prayer, I want to pray with you. Just raise your hand and I want to just pray with you. Praise God. If there's anybody else, Jesus, I thank you for these brothers and sisters. I thank you, Father, for them just crossing that line of faith. I pray, Father, that may they experience God's kindness, God's patience, God's grace, God's love, God's grace. I pray may they have the help of God's Spirit to walk with them, to move with them, to help them follow Jesus fully. We honor and love you, God. And I pray for everybody else, God, in this space, wherever you're calling us, that we will live in light of the call that you have placed on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to have prayer counselors around. If you need prayer, feel free to go and receive prayer. This could be about anything that you're trusting God to do in your life. Feel free to go and receive that prayer. And then can we stand and worship God one more time?
Before we start, they're looking for the owner of a vehicle, an A5655, a Nissan Juke, maroon in color. Please go meet security. They've been looking for you.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame of boldly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord. Oh,
darkness seems to hide its face.
When darkness seems to hide its face, I rest on, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Sing Christ alone, Christ alone, cornerstone.
And resurrection, we experience a God who has been patient with us. Through the cross and resurrection, we experience a God who has been completely humble and gentle to the point of dying for us. Through the cross and resurrection, we experience a God who bears with us in love. In fact, He bears with us to a point of loving us to death so that we can experience His goodness. And because Christ has been that to you, therefore we can go and show the world the kindness that we have experienced, the humility, the gentleness that we have experienced, that we can live as though the risen Lord lives within us. As you go, may God bless you. May God keep you. May God smile on you. May He lift you. May He turn His face towards you. May He give you peace. and the grace that you need this week. You are a child of God, fully loved by God, and He is for you and never against you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to do baptisms out there. So if you don't mind, you can still spare a few minutes as we'll be doing baptisms to just celebrate our brothers and sisters that are getting baptized today. All right, have a beautiful week. I'll see you outside.